Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back with a vengeance. We are back to tell it like it is. We are back to piss people off. Welcome to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the king of king himself, the man who always have a plan. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone lines, I have the one, the only,
Sean Black in the building once again. Howdy do.
Okay. And on the other phone lines, I have the lovely and talented Anitra B.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Hello.
Okay, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Got some juice with me, so we're good.
Aha.
Yes.
You know, a little bit of OJ, a little bit of seltzer water.
Yes. It's been a while since we've had the entire gang together, you know?
I know.
So you can tell, folks, for those that are listening, this is going to be a loaded show. If all three of us are here together, we're going to have a loaded show.
All right. Oh, don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number to call is 347-989-8402. 347-989-8402. Anitra B., Sean Black. For the 127th time, are you guys ready to put some people off?
Of course.
Yes.
All right. First, let me start with Anitra, a question that was addressed to me to address to you. Today, as we know, is a controversial holiday called Christopher Columbus. And, of course, Anitra B. is Italian. It's good. You know, it's a good thing. But how do you feel about the controversy of this debt in New York at Columbus Circle that they wanted to take the statue down of Christopher Columbus, because we all know the history. We don't need to get into that. Do you feel the statue should be taken out? And two, do you feel that the holiday should be abolished or change the name to something else? And should the parade be changed from Italian Pride Parade? That's three questions in one time. Wow, look at me.
I know. Holy shit. Yeah.
Well, that's loaded.
No, I don't think the statue should be taken down. And it sort of is considered an Italian pride. It kind of transitioned into that, like, since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're bringing that up now, it's ridiculous. We all learned what Christopher Columbus was about in grade school. This is not new. This is not like a new discovery or, you know, they just figured all this shit out. No. People are bored and need something to complain about. That's all this is. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but,
stupid.
Yeah, but, you know, remember, it started from the controversy of the Robert E. Lee statue that, you know, we need to bring it down because from a racism and everything. And with Christopher Columbus, yes, we know he discovered America and Native America, blah, 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 blah. But it need to put, that statue needs to be brought down because it brought up, well, he was a rapist, a murderer, and all that other stuff. So you're promoting rapists and murdering and all that other crap.
No, what I would like them to do is use our tax dollars instead of trying to rip down a statue that means nothing to me, is to put it to some good use, do something else, clean a fucking subway station, you know, I don't know, put in some more elevator, you know, put it to good use instead of taking my tax money to rip down a statue that I could not care less about.
And
so much for the pride,
that,
huh?
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's beyond that. I mean, like, everybody knows what he was. This is not new knowledge. And now it's an issue? Why wasn't this an issue 20 years ago? Or when they had his huge, I remember sometime in the 80s, they had, like, a huge celebration about, it was some celebration on the birthday or something like that. Why didn't they bring it up then? Where they literally shot off fireworks, because I remember when I was a kid, I was there. They had this huge display. It was some sort of big event. Why not bring it up then?
Well,
you also have to remember a lot of these holidays and remembrances and all of these things that are tied in, even though a lot of Italians have lots of pride in the history of Christopher Columbus, you also got to remember, there's a lot of money tied into a lot of these celebrations and a lot of these things, statue
exactly.
remembrances, renaming a street, naming an entire area after it. So, yeah, there are a lot of things involved, but with a lot of these things, money tends to be a huge factor in determining what happens where, when, and why. And it's not as if people really knew about everything that we now know about Christopher Columbus. Even when I went to school and when Rodney and all of us were in grade school, the only thing you were really taught was he came from Spain, three ships, discovered America.
No, in college, I was taught about who he really was in school. I've always known. This is not new knowledge. I think it's ridiculous that people are making a big deal out of this now. Make the big deal out of it 20 years ago. I don't care now. I'm sorry, but if they go after that statue, that's our tax dollars paying those city workers to do that. I would rather my money go to cleaning a park, making a street safer, putting up more street lights where I drive down certain blocks in Brooklyn and Manhattan where it's pitch black. I would rather my tax dollars go there than ripping down a ridiculous statue.
Well, here's a question that I'll throw to the both of you, just in that vein of where you're coming from, because I understand the money could be put to something else. But
exactly.
Let's just ask
it means something.
I'll throw out the devil's advocate question to you.
Well, please,
now,
you don't know nothing about that, but go ahead.
We know now a lot of the history of Christopher Columbus, how before we all knew what we know now, we knew that he was not the greatest of people. We knew that he murdered people. We know that he was the way they brought him up in the eyes of the people when they brought this holiday here, they made him look like a hero. And as we've gone over time in the period that we've learned about him, he really wasn't that much of a hero in the eyes of a lot of people. So
yeah, he was a jackass.
Is, as you stated before, we know that Christopher Columbus' statue is in an area where there's a lot of there's a park in that particular area. Would you think, what a lot of other people do, would you have the statue of somebody, let's say, in a park, when you know their history is not as such that should be celebrated, to fix and decorate the area around the statue when a lot of people know the history behind that statue? The same way we talked about a lot of the Confederate statues that have come down, it's like to put the statue in a beautiful park, fix up the park, but still keep the one unifying issue that is detrimental to a lot of people, which would be what that statue represented to other people.
You ever walk through Washington Square Park?
Oh yes.
You see the little figurines, the little statues of the weed plants all over the place? Why isn't that gone? Why is that glorified?
That is true. And that's probably something
that
will be brought up.
Stupidity everywhere. But then this is what I'm saying. I've never brought it up before because honestly I don't care. Like I said, I'd rather my tax dollars go to something useful. I would rather them clean up the park. I'd rather them take the needles out of the fucking park. I would rather them light up blocks that are needed. I would rather them clean up a project building. You know, like, I would rather them do so much more with the tax dollars than remove a statue that means absolutely nothing to me. I couldn't care less. To me, it's decoration. It's a nice statue.
Well,
it can stay there. I don't care.
Well, do you believe the holiday should be abolished or...
No, it means it has different meaning to different people. I don't care. So I grew up where it was more about Italian pride, to tell you the truth. Like in my family, and when we would go to the parade when I was a kid, and like they have certain parts of Brooklyn, like in Bensonhurst, 18th Avenue is called Christopher Columbus Avenue. So like they have the parade along 18th Avenue, stuff like that. It's more about Italian pride than actually celebrating him, to be honest with you. It's kind of changed into something else.
Would you rather them rename it to an Italian Pride Day or a celebration of Italian pride as opposed to maybe celebrating Christopher Columbus, who we all know didn't necessarily discover America. He just bumped into the wrong place, which he thought were the West Indies.
Yeah, I know. It was a complete accident.
I'm sorry. I can hear your cat in the background yelling at you.
He really is. He's, like, staring at me and cursing me out because I'm not giving him the attention he wants.
Okay.
That's all this is. There's like a stance going, a standoff going on right now.
Okay. But before we go to the next topic, to answer Sean's question, in the Bible, right, there's some good stories and some bad stories. Christopher Columbus, there's some good stories, there's some bad stories. In the end, you don't mess with history. You just leave it alone. Because of social media, because somebody says one thing, everybody go haywire. Like Demetra said, why this thing was not brought up 20 years ago? Because people did not open their mind? Because Sean Black said something on Twitter, everybody had to go crazy and talk about it?
Here's the other thing. We're also in a time where public thought is actually being challenged. There were times back during the 70s and the 80s and late early 90s where things were brought up, but they weren't really addressed. We're now in such a volatile state with everything that's going on in the world and especially socially in this country. A lot of things that probably would have been addressed, say, 10, 15 years ago, were never fully addressed. They were talked about here and then pushed to the wayside because of other things. Now that we're
I also feel like people are nitpicking. They're picking reasons to be upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're nitpicking.
I mean, it is what it is. We can't change history. We just have to learn from it and move on. But unfortunately, learn from history, we cannot move on because, like Anisha said, and you said, people nitpick stories that they want to hear or they don't want to hear. So,
yeah.
But let's go on to the next topic because this is like another black and white situation.
Unfortunately.
It's time for my new segment called Sean Rants of the Week. So this is going to last about 30 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, so I'd like to apologize offhand.
Wait, I got to adjust my pillow. I got to get into Sean Rant mode. Okay, go.
Yeah. So apparently there was a Facebook ad from Dove, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, I saw that.
So, of course, Sean would address this problem because, you know, he hates turning from black to white or white to black or whatever. So, Sean, what is your problem with this soap ad that not just you, is going hype on social media, as always, like everything else?
Anything racially related or perceived as racially related is going to get a lot of consternation and a lot of vitriol from the public this season. But before the ad fully aired, there were screen grabs of the, I think it was like a 15-second clip that they did that Dove was doing for their body wash. And it was four shots. The top two shots were of an African-American woman wearing dark brown clothing, and as she took off the shirt and pulled everything up, you see her turning into a white woman with brown hair and a lighter shirt underneath that. Now, if you didn't see the entire ad, you didn't see then the white lady taking her clothing off and becoming what I think was either a Hispanic woman or a Muslim woman. I couldn't tell the nationality from the commercial. But that was supposed to be what Dove was representing. The screen grab that they showed evoked a huge, disgusting past that has been shown throughout soap ads throughout the United States and around the world. And it's happened before, especially, and Dove has actually been in trouble doing ads similar to this before. For those that aren't worry of this or don't know about what happens, there is a history where soap ads, especially in the late 1800s to the early 1900s, where they were depicting black people or African Americans that were dirty and then using the soap, and then once they used the soap, they washed them and then they either became whiter or completely white, which was a completely racist tone that was always used back in the day. And I think a lot of people saw this ad and it evoked those same emotions from there. Now, going forward, Dove, after they got the backlash that they did, they apologized. They went online. They recognized that whatever they did didn't work, didn't make any sense. We're pulling the ad. We apologize. What a lot of these advertisers have to do, they need to hire somebody and discuss the idea that they have so that we don't get the kinds of messages that get mixed up. Now, you remember earlier in the summer we talked about the Kylie Jenner Pepsi ad, that we understood what they were trying to say, but the execution made it look completely off kilter. These are the kinds of things that have to be done.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're still talking? I was falling asleep. Go ahead. Carry on.
Don't be mean.
Good Lord.
I'm sorry. What is your point of your rant of the week,
the
Sean?
The point of my rant is a lot of these billion-dollar corporations, when they try to be quote-unquote socially conscious, but they try to be hip, and Dove has actually done some pretty good ads, they have to walk a fine line and realize that the things that they put in print or in the media when it comes to their advertising can backfire on them and evoke things that, with the tone that this country is in, what we just talked about previously, can actually come back and hurt them in the long run. And I'm talking about in their pockets, in their wallets, because they're a business. And when something like this happens, it evokes the wrong kinds of emotions, because Facebook, Twitter, all of the social media, they lost their minds on this entire situation. And it's something that could get somebody fired for the most part if they weren't careful.
Sean, do not be surprised if they did that on purpose, because they know what they do, because they know what they are doing.
There's no such thing as bad publicity. There's no such thing
exactly.
as bad publicity, and you know that.
That's why I'm not upset with it, because, you know what, like you said, they did it before. And they did it before. They do it again. They're not stupid. Like you said, it's a billion-dollar company. I use the product. It doesn't affect me. If I need soft skin, I need to buy that product, right? So I have no problem with it, because it's marketing genius. Because people are going to get upset, and guess what? In the end, people still won't buy their stuff. What are they going to do now? Boycott, protest, not buy the stuff?
Well,
you need soft skin, right?
If that actually did happen, which a lot of people that protest or that are trying to make a point with a particular company, they're like, look, don't do this again or else. Because there are situations where you can ruin a company by doing something like that. There have been plenty of ads over the years that have had racial undertones that we've seen that evoke racism throughout. And these companies, like you said, maybe they're doing it on purpose. Maybe they just don't know. They have the idea, but they don't know how to string the idea out and plan it and storyboard it the way it should so that it comes across as what they're trying to hit on. But these kinds of things have to be consulted and really thought through before you realize, you know, this may not look all that great. And that's something that these companies have to do going forward.
Okay. You guys present your ideas to me. I'm the chairman of the board. If I say go with it, right? Maybe you did bring it to my attention. And I told you I don't care. I like the idea. Go for it. We don't know what happened in that board meeting. I'm sure people talk about it, but in the end, one or two people make the final decision to go for it or not.
So here,
I'm in the bathroom because I can't really tell if I'm on the air or not, because, you know, I'm hiding from my daughter.
Good grief. He's hiding from the family.
Well, just one particular little person that has him wrapped around her little pinky.
Yes.
Whatever. But besides that, Anitra. No, Anitra, you're white. Did that ad offend you at all?
No. I don't care. Sorry, but at the end of the day, they pulled it. They apologized for it. They're human. They made a mistake. I'm not expecting them to be robots and to know, you know, to make everything perfect and, you know, clean and everything. So they're run by human beings. They made a mistake. They made a stupid decision. You know, if they didn't apologize for it and they just ran with it, or they just made excuses, that'd be different. But they apologized for it. Now let's move on. They put their foot in their mouth. They apologized.
But I think that's a problem. I think that's the major problem. People cannot move on.
from stuff like that. Like, this is not the first time we all talk about ads that have racial profiling or whatever. People just came on. Oh, my gosh. Dove did this. We're not buying Dove anymore. Oh, my gosh. Like, really?
Yeah, but there's a difference to where if something's done deliberately and there's no apology and someone's scapegoating it, to where there's an actual apology made. You know what I mean? People forget that these are human beings. They're allowed to make mistakes.
Something doesn't have to be intentional for it to still be offensive and or racist.
Well, of course. I'm not saying it's not going to be offensive, but you can't take it in the same stride as somebody's telling you to go fuck yourself.
You have to allow some sort of leeway when
someone is actually apologetic. You know what I mean? Like, people are going to put their foot in their mouths. We're human.
You could tell Anisha B has not been on the show for a while because she let everything out tonight.
No, I'm just saying in general, to me, it's not the same thing. Like, if you see an ad that's clearly racial and the company is not apologetic, or if they are, you could tell that it's just some ridiculousness because they don't want to lose sponsorship, to when the company is actually apologetic, it shouldn't be in the same boat.
Well, companies have to be apologetic for that same reason.
Yeah,
see,
but we've seen in the past where companies are pretty much telling the consumers, yeah, now, you know, go fuck yourself, get over it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is the same thing. And that's what I'm saying, that it can't be as simple as black and white. There has to be a gray area. Because like I said this a million times, that people that sit at these boards are human beings that are allowed to make mistakes.
Yeah, but you can't make the same mistake two or three or
why
four
not?
Times.
People, we do, why not? We do it all the time.
Well,
there are people
at the same time,
who make the same mistake over a 20-year span a million fucking times. And we say, okay, put them on the head and move on.
Yeah.
What's
but
the difference here?
The difference in the mistake that you or one of us would make, like a mistake that we would make would be, oh, I put my keys and left it in the bathroom. Or I forgot to close the door or I forgot to lock something. That's a mistake we would make. When you're running a billion-dollar corporation, you can't make a mistake like that. And
yes, you can. You're human. You're not a robot. That doesn't make you a robot to put a fucking halo over your head.
No, that's understandable. But if you make a mistake, everybody makes mistakes.
You want sports.
I'm not saying anybody's perfect. That's not what this argument is.
But Sean, Joe Girardi, the New York Yankees coach, he made a mistake that cost the game the other night. And he has experience as a coach and a player. Nobody's perfect. He's man up to it. Let's move on, right?
And that's exactly what happened. They won the next game. That's the difference. That's a little bit different than actually running a billion-dollar corporation that goes worldwide, that is selling
products. Yankees is a billion-dollar corporation that goes worldwide.
But he's not running it per se.
He's running the team, though. He makes final decisions.
I'll give you what I'm explaining for you.
No, you ain't explaining nothing to us. You ain't explaining nothing to us.
He's
being a sensitive bitch as always.
First and foremost, there's a little bit of a bigger span with this. Back in 2011, what we talked about companies making mistakes. Dove made the same type of mistake where they did an ad where they had an African-American woman as before. Then they had cracked skin, dry, etc. The after picture was with a white woman that had smooth, clear skin. This is, as I said before, you are allowed to make a mistake as a company and then pass it off and say, okay, fine. Especially
Can
if
I ask
something...
you something, though? How do you know it's the same people on the board 8 years later?
If you're running
the same person,
you know, we're not saying it's the same.
People get fired, people retire, people die. So how do you know that it's the same moron who okayed that commercial 8 years ago to the idiot who did it to this day and age?
It's not the fact that it was the same person. It makes it it makes it worse in the fact that somebody else that came there didn't do their homework and learn what happened in the past going to another one when they're actually moving to that particular demographic. That makes it worse.
But once again, we don't know what really happened in that meeting. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
that's all I'm saying.
I kind of
think it was released on purpose, but that's just me.
I think they did it on purpose.
You want to know something? It probably did. And if it did get, if it was done on purpose just to get people talking, it worked. But if they need to use that for advertisement, then there's going to be a lot of people that's going to want to walk away from their product because it's not
like
that's the only place you can buy soap.
No, I disagree because people will still buy the product. But if you need it, you want it, you will get it no matter what. Just like, I don't want to talk too much about it. Just like football. There's a lot of boycott going on about football. But if you love your team, despite what's going on, you're going to watch it. Unless you're a New York Giants fan, that's a different story. But besides that.
But not for nothing, I was curious about with all this NFL stuff going on. So I actually, like, a couple weekends, because, you know, I live in a bar neighborhood. So football nights, the bars are packed. You know, bars are still packed. There's no there's really no difference. Of course.
Yes, of course. And talk about football. That's a good leeway to our next segment. Sean's girl, Jamila Hill, ESPN anchor, got in trouble a few weeks ago when she tweeted calling Donald Trump a white supremacist. I don't want to talk about that. Move on. Breaking news earlier today that ESPN anchor got suspended by ESPN for her latest tweet from yesterday about the NFL and Jerry Jones. What did she say, Sean? Because that's your girl.
Jamel Hill is I'll get to the tweet first. She basically was writing the tweet in response to what happened the day before with Vice President Mike Pence, who actually went to see a football game and was there, and it was, I believe it was the 49ers and the Colts. National anthem is played, 49ers players are on a knee. 30 minutes later, he left and basically left a tweet saying, I am not going to stay for a game where people are going to disrespect the national anthem. That's the context for that. Fast forward to yesterday, where Jamel Hill went on her Twitter account and said this. This is her exact tweet. If you strongly reject what Jerry Jones said, which he talked about fining or sitting his own players on his team if they didn't stand for the national anthem, if you strongly reject what Jerry Jones said, the key is his advertisers. Don't place the burden squarely on the players. This play always works. Change happens when advertisers are impacted. If you feel strongly about Jerry Jones' statement, boycott his advertisers. Those are the tweets that got Jamel Hill suspended, this time for 2 weeks. And the entire internet lost its collective mind. And the reason why this looks so egregious is the fact that just last week, we had Jerry Jones and all of these other owners locking arm in arm in solidarity for unity and making sure that everybody was together. And even Jerry Jones, whatever he felt, decided to take a knee with his players to join solidarity about I'm behind the players on their right to say peacefully protest. We fast forward this week, and now he's basically saying, if you take a knee, you will not play, which is basically him spitting in the face of the players that he just the week before said he was there for. So that's where a lot of this is going, and a lot of it is we got to give credit to the president, who basically has waged this war with the NFL because he wanted to own an NFL team. The NFL owners kicked him out. They didn't want any part of him. He tried to buy the Buffalo Bills back in 2014. He tried to get into the NFL. He tried to sabotage the NFL back in 83 when he owned the New Jersey Generals or the USFL and tried to hijack that league and have it go up against the NFL, which, of course, was the stupidest thing to happen because that league ended up folding. So a lot of the things that we see, the machinations that are happening between Trump and everything else, this is just a subtext, and now we've got collateral damage all over the place because of it.
Okay, so this is where I defend Jerry Jones a little bit, because I think Anitra will agree. If you're the boss and you sign my check, you tell me what to do, right? And if I don't like it, I could either take it or leave it, right?
Yep.
So Jerry Jones, yes, we all know he's a hypocrite. If it's, like I said last week, if it's walk like a duck, talk like a duck, it is a duck. Jerry Jones, we all know he was a hypocrite for taking a knee. We talk about that. So if the advertisers and Donald Trump, your boss, your friend, is on your case, what can you do? Stand by your players or worry about your business? If Anitra does not want me to take a knee, either I shut up and take my check, or I just easily walk out and may never play again like someone that we know right now.
Exactly.
I know how you feel, Sean. This is yours. You're very sensitive and you know, eager about this. But, Sean, for once, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm on Jerry Jones' side a little bit. You know how much I can't stand him.
Oh, Lord. I know the world
yeah,
is going in.
Same here. I kind of have to agree.
I know the world is going
in now.
I kind of have to agree.
And like I told you earlier on the phone, again, she tweeted about Donald Trump being a white supremacist. And Nietzsche said on the show many times, there's a time and place for everything. If Nietzsche reprimanded me for doing a tweet like that, and, you know, there'll be consequences if I do it again. Yes, the tweet didn't sound like offensive, but once I tweeted something, I need you to have the right, because once again, she signed my check to suspend me. But once again, there's a time and place for everything, whether she was right or wrong.
See, this is the systematic problem with this.
Sean will start crying again. Go ahead, Sean.
First and foremost, I want you to hear this out. The problem with what's going on with this particular argument is the fact that this was not done on her job. This was not a job tweet. This had nothing to do with ESPN. This had nothing to do with the show. This was a personal tweet that she was responding to on her own personal time. Nothing to do
with that.
This is where I have to disagree. When you work for media, there's no such thing as personal time. You sign a contract. She signed a contract. In that contract, she wasn't supposed to do that. If you feel the contract is not just, then sign the fucking contract. Do not work for that company. Work somewhere else. She likes the check. Anyone would like the check. Then you have to abide by the contract you signed. That whole thing where personal business, that's bullshit. There's no wall. It's the same shit. It doesn't matter if she did it from her desk or from her couch. She shouldn't have done it. Period.
She signed the contract.
She knew what she was signing. She knew the consequences to her actions. She should have been fired, to tell you
the truth. You actually think
she should be fired because of what she said?
She should have been fired. She signed the contract. I don't work in media. I don't work in certain companies because I like certain freedoms. Okay? If you want to live a certain type of way and you don't want to sign this or do this, then don't work there. Do something else.
And you know what, Sean? I can't believe. Wow, Anitra and I have not worked together for a long time. So write this in a book. If you say yourself many times, long time ago, how social media will always come back and bite you in the ass, you always have to be careful. Whether it's personal or professional, people are always watching. If I'm applying for a job and I'm posting of me partying and drinking and everything, yes, that's my social life. But as an employer, do you want this guy who's partying, drinking, and smoking to work for your company and pay me at six figures? Not knowing I'm going to show up to work on time or not, or I might be hungover.
Oh, absolutely.
Image
not.
Is everything. Easy. Yep. Image is everything now. And now we all, like we discussed earlier, we pick and choose our thing. Jemele Hill was reprimanded, and she got away with it the first time. She should have kept her mouth shut.
And you want to know something? If this is the case, if this is really what ESPN as a brand thinks, in general, they're going to lose a lot of people. And the reason why is the people that look to ESPN for some kind of objective opinions from the people that work there, if they think that an actual point that was not wrong that she brought up is something to be to have somebody reprimanded for what she said, then people are going to look at ESPN and say, you know what? I don't need to watch this network, especially if the people that are there aren't even going to be able to express an actual point away from it. And then what makes it worse is that it then shines badly on ESPN because it makes it look like they are in agreement with the rest of the NFL and with what the president said. And if they are looking at it from that point, they're doing more damage by picking on, quote unquote, the little person over a point that actually was correct and not inaccurate over something that was not done on the job. It's not like it's not like she had a picture that she was drinking. Like you stated, she wasn't doing some partying. She didn't have a T-shirt that had some wrong message on it or smoking weed or whatever. All she did was point out something that was pretty much on the money. And she probably would have brought up the same situation if she was on the job doing an interview on television, because that's what she paid to do. But if you're going to sit there and tell me,
because she wouldn't have, because her interviews typically are pre-screened. They would never have allowed her to ask that question.
This is what I've seen, and I've watched her and Michael Smith's show. I've listened to their podcast, or his and hers podcast, and these are the kinds of things that they bring up and they talk about. That exact statement she would have brought up on the show. She would have brought up on the podcast, which is, if I'm not mistaken, run by ESPN in the first place.
Sean, remember one thing, though. You are absolutely right. I don't disagree on most levels, but once again, who do you listen to? The people that don't watch the show or the advertisers that paid you? Like what Anitra said. If Anitra continues to talk, I'm not going to pay you anymore. So you have to listen to that. They defended Jamela Hill, and you know she continued. So as an advertiser, you should, if she's still working for you, if she don't shape up, I'm pulling out. You may lose 100,000 people watching you compared to 100 million I'm paying you. You got to take your losses. 100,000 people or $100 million coming to your wallet? Which one's the bigger loss?
Yeah, well, when you have $1.9 billion a year that you're spending on the NFL and you make one statement against, quote-unquote, the advertisers, which is what the tweet is, and it wasn't even saying, you know, the advertisers are wrong or whatever. The only thing, she made a point. If something is going to happen, it's in essence saying if you're going to exact change, then the change has to come with your pocket. That's in essence what she was saying.
Okay. Well, excuse me. We got Kato. He's been waiting for a while. I'm sure he has a lot to say. He's another Jamela Hill Trump hater person. So go ahead, K-Dog.
Hey, K-Dog.
Hey, how's everybody doing? I'm not going to call single people, but however, this type of controversy once again rears its head.
Yes.
Again with Jamela Hill. And now that she tweeted about owner Jerry Jones, you know, in a workplace, you got to be very careful. You got to be very careful of what you put on social media, especially when your job is looking at it. That's the bottom line. You got to be very careful because there have been many people who have been fired for some of the quotes that they put on social media pertaining to the job. And being that you're in a job of sports, you got to be very careful, especially with people like Jerry Jones. That's the scary part about it. I can understand what she's saying, but you got to be like, man, this is really serious. You got to be very careful.
Oh, I got what she said,
it.
And she had every right to say it, and I happen to agree with her. I think she put her foot in her mouth.
Yeah, because you know what? Like I said, you got to be very careful when you're working in a big corporation, especially when you have a page on social media, whether it is Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever have you. You got to be very careful of what you're putting on out there. You got to be, because believe it or not, your boss is watching. The head of the company is watching. And if they see something that you wrote on social media and it's out in the open, you might as well kiss your job goodbye.
Right? I mean, she has a podcast Why not make it into a debate? She probably wouldn't have even gotten in trouble for that. That was my
whole
thing.
That's all she had to do. The whole thing
Sean,
is
doesn't
that...
Doesn't she have, like, two shows?
Yeah, she does. She does. She has a podcast. And that's where she should have put it. But on social media, you got to be very careful. And I've said this many times to people I've spoken to. I'm like, social media, it's your friend and your enemy at the same time.
Wait a minute. Listen to how weird this sounds. She has a podcast, and she does the 6 o'clock Sports Center with Michael Smith. The same opinion that she put in Twitter, from what I'm hearing, she should have said it on her show, and she wouldn't have had an issue. But if she says it away from the show, then there's a problem.
It's an issue.
No.
Yeah, that's
Sean,
the problem.
Sean, hold on. If she has say it on her show, she would have to get approval from the producers and the EP to say it on the show. What you're doing on social media, you did it on your own without any acknowledgement of everybody else.
Yeah, that's your own
workplace.
Opinion.
That's
so she would have been covered. Nothing would have happened to her. She should have put it out there to do it on one of her shows.
I wish she
did. I would have.
I have an opinion. I'm putting it on my show.
Yeah,
well,
exactly. Cover your ass. Especially
overall,
when you were reprimanded once already. Cover your ass. Be smart enough to do that.
The overall arcing problem with this whole discussion is the fact that ESPN looks like the bad guys in this from this sense. Irregardless of this, where the tweet happened, when it happened, they look like they've kowtowed to the advertisers and, more importantly, to the NFL. And because the NFL and the owners, especially a lot of the owners, have actually donated money to the president who started a lot of this situation, it makes them look like they're cowing down to them as well. So that makes them look really bad with egg on their face based on the fact that this is the second time that Jemele Hill has been hit with this. The first one was more of a rant on the president. This one is more of what I think would happen if they want to exact change is to go to the advertisers. Maybe ESPN looked at it and said, well, don't talk about our money. But this overall and what they're doing makes ESPN look so, so bad in the eyes of everybody, regardless of what we think.
I'm sorry, I disagree. And maybe in your eyes and many people's eyes, but not a lot of people see it that way.
Trust me.
If
you go online, you will see a ton of support to Jemele Hill.
But guess what?
She does have a lot of support.
She's
not lying
about
that.
Guys, in the end, ESPN was still going to make their money. But that's what it's all about. It's all about making money and making business.
Let's see how far that goes. They've been losing a lot of subscribers as of late, and they don't need any more negative publicity to lose any more subscribers. And to tell
you
the truth, this can actually lose them subscribers.
No, and maybe that's why they suspend her, because they don't want to lose any more people. You're right. They don't lose the people for different reasons, of course. But other than that, let's go to our last two topics. A couple of weeks ago,
the man himself,
the godfather of all godfathers, Hugh Hefner, the playboy of all playboys, I don't know if he went to a better place or not, but hey. You know, he left all this to go upstairs or downstairs, I don't know. But this is going out to Anitra overall. Do you believe, in your honest opinion, Hugh Hefner, we all know his history, we know what he's about. I'm like, there's some good side and some bad side, but I want to talk about his legacy. Did you feel that he helped empower women or exploited women, if you have to choose either or?
I didn't really look at it as exploitation because these women were not forced to do this. Like, he would hire models, they would pose, pay them, and, you know, keep it moving. He hired models. It's not like he ran a prostitution ring.
Hello, yes, he did.
No, I'm just saying, like, in general, like, I never considered it. To me, I don't consider something like that exploiting. I mean, you have a sound mind. You make the decision to do this. No one is forcing you. It's not like he was ever Shut up. Sorry, guys.
Wow.
Wow, okay.
I guess we know how it's going down.
No, he's being very, very bad tonight for some reason. No, it's not like he was taking pictures of little kids, little girls. You know what I mean? Like, these are grown adults, made their own decisions. And why not? If they had the body to rock it and they had that kind of confidence, hey, why not?
Yeah, well, but what about all the controversy of, like, of course, you know, there's a lot of sex going on, the drugs, that he married, like, multiple women, that he had sex with all these females, and that he used them for, you know, to get other favors done.
So was every other Hollywood producer and musician and singer at that time.
Are you talking about Mr. Harvey Weinstein that got boosted out a couple of days ago from his company?
I'm talking about concerts back in the day from when I heard about, you know, going to a Janis Joplin concert, a Doors concert, going to go see the Rolling Stones. It was sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Sean?
At that time. That was the world.
I firmly believe, whether anybody believes it or not, that he did more to help further along
what?
Things for women.
What? What?
And here's the reason why.
What?
One, even though there are a lot of people that look at Hugh Hefner as, oh, he's a pig, he's a heathen, he doesn't care about the sanctity of marriage, et cetera, et cetera. He did a lot for minorities as far as hiring African Americans in certain businesses along to work with the mansion, work with his magazine as far as getting that business going. As far as women goes, his magazine, even though there were a lot of nude and scantily clad women in his magazines, his magazine pictures and photography were always tasteful. I didn't hear anybody complain about the artwork, the pictures that were taken as far as them being disgusting or hedonistic or exploitative. I never really heard those kinds of words, especially from the celebrities who had a career based on that. And then there were people that had careers that ended up posing for Playboy magazine, and it grew their brand even more so. So I don't think there was any full negativity from him and his legacy, or what anybody would think would be his legacy. I don't think that there's any negativity from that.
Wow. Well, once I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm shocked by his answer, Mr. Sensitive Over.
Why would you think? Why would you think I would just condemn him?
Well, I'm not really surprised, because it's not like he was ever into anything, you know, like you know, child porn or bestiality or anything crazy.
You know,
and with the many other magazines of other brands that are out there, Playboy was not like the other ones.
No.
Exactly.
Listen, what I got to say is this about Hugh Hefner, man. Listen, Hugh Hefner, you lived a very good life. He did not exploit women. I'll say this, women were not forced. But I will say this, he shaped a lot of careers. And also, Playboy was not porn. Definitely not.
Yes, it is.
Because
yes, it was.
Well, you know what? No. Listen to what I'm about to say. You see, there's glamour and there's porn. You understand what I'm saying? The difference between penthouse and Playboy.
Opening up the centerfold and staring at a female's vagina is porn.
You're talking to a man who read Playboy. So you know,
Hold on.
So I know the difference.
Keep the lotion to yourself. And to the side, okay?
Exactly. No, honey,
but
it was porn.
But you know what was beautiful? But you know what was beautiful, though? The fact of the matter is, yes, the pictures were very tasteful. I mean, hey, you had various actresses. You had various personalities who posed for Playboy. And their brand grew as a result of that. It's like, you know, you look at the girl next door, and you see on Playboy, like, hey, wow, look at this. But also, the Playboy Mansion was a playground for many people in both the music industry, the business industry, and the movie industry. So everybody knew about the Playboy Mansion. And also there was a show that Hugh Hefner had way back in the 60s
where it was like Playboy After Hours, where he would feature many artists on that program. Bush,
yeah.
Jazz, and
part
pop.
Of it was, well, part of it was porn also, so Playboy was porn. I'm sorry, Playboy is porn.
Well, the magazine wasn't really porn. That was more
artistic.
That's
what I'm saying.
There was no hard porn.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. I have a question for you. So you're
okay.
telling me opening up the centerfold and you're seeing a chick with her crotch spread out in your face is not porn. What is it?
No, it wasn't spread out. Her crotch wasn't spread out.
Really?
In Playboy, they didn't have no spread out crotches. They didn't
yes,
have women
they
fingering
did.
Themselves. No, they didn't.
No.
It was mostly.
No, I'm not talking about women.
House.
I'm not talking about women playing with themselves. I'm just saying they had centerfolds where you saw her whole hoo-ha.
But
yeah,
you
saw
everything.
How is that not porn?
The hoo-ha was never opened. It was never
exactly.
fully exposed.
No, it wasn't.
All of the
it
pictures
wasn't.
That I have seen, always
exactly.
been with
That's
whatever,
what
the
I'm
whatever the theme was. It was tastefully done. There were no. They made sure that there were no sex acts going on in there at
exactly.
all.
Exactly.
You didn't see
you know
any.
What?
Yeah, go ahead, Kale.
That's why
it's
I'm
porn.
Saying Playboy is not porn.
Okay, all right,
comparing
guys.
To Penthouse,
okay.
Penthouse is definitely porn.
I can't believe we're talking about Playboy. I can't believe we're debating
yeah.
about Playboy. But
Hot Rod, that's the legacy. If you have to argue
yeah,
about
exactly.
what is porn and what is
rest in peace, Hugh Hefner, you wonderful
but in
gentleman.
In other words, but let's give credit to Hugh Hefner. He died on. He passed away on Hump Day. He's the man. But
hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
But we have one more caller. We all know who he is. He's a main event himself. I know what he's going to talk about. He's going to talk about how great Donald Trump is. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Milton X.
Oh,
hey,
no.
Good evening. Hey, good
Mel.
Evening. Good evening.
Hey,
how
Mel,
you doing?
Mel.
What's going
hey.
On?
What's up, bro?
What's going
I'm,
on?
I'm doing wonderful.
So,
what a time to be alive.
I guess you want to address the Jemele Hill situation right now, huh?
Well, listen. At the end of the day, you can't go in Master House and talk bad about Master. It doesn't work.
Here we
you understand?
Go. Here
it
we
is
go.
What it is. You know what I mean? First of all, shout out to Mike Pence for doing that bullshit ass publicity stunt. I mean, you know, that's some major fuckboy shit right there. But I digress. As far as the Mel Hill thing, listen, when you attack the advertising, you attack the money, white man going to spank you. That's all there is to it. But ultimately, you know, I'm happy because it's a great time to see how the fuckery of America is being exposed out here. It's all out there for the world to see. And what it should do is inspire us as black folk to get up and get our own thing. That's the only thing. You ain't going to get no justice from stolen land. You're not going to get an acceptance by working for, you know, other people. It's not going to happen. You got to have your own stuff. You got to have your own leagues, your own schools, your own television shows, your own radio stations. It should be a black version of ESPN, black version of everything. Let's be
okay.
honest. Jewish people have made their own blueprint, and we should follow that.
Let me ask you a question, Milton.
No, hold on, Sean.
Good.
Someone forwarded this question to me, and I saved this for Milton X, because as we talked about earlier between everybody protesting and all this stuff, and this came from a white man who's a Trump supporter at my job. He told me, Hot Rod, I'm going to talk to you about it man to man. All this protesting is going on, right, within the NFL players. I mean, yes, I find this disrespectful, of course, but that's my opinion. Quote, unquote, taking the knee, what are they doing about anything about it? Taking a knee is doing nothing. Yes, it's being disrespectful, but do you see them doing anything for the community? Do you see them giving back overall? Now, all of them.
Actually, there are plenty of NFL players who give back to their communities, who do a lot of charitable things. And probably, let's be honest, they're doing more than that so-called guy that you talk to is. That's for damn sure. So let's be honest about that. The problem is the people like your man there and other people don't like black folks that enough for themselves. You know what I'm saying? They still rather have it be like, you know, still on the plantation, so to speak. So this thing isn't about the anthem. It's really about standing up against white supremacy. And they don't want to deal with that. So it is what it is. But
okay, Sean, your question?
Yep.
Sean, your question?
The question that I was going to ask you, Milt, was, how does this make ESPN look in your eyes? If you're from the outside looking in and you see everything that I brought up earlier as far as the money that ESPN is getting from the NFL and all of the other stuff that's going on, how does this make ESPN look to the outside person looking at the situation?
Well,
how this
for my eyes, it looks like they're on team white supremacy at the end of the day. But that's my eyes. What I notice is there's a whole lot of other people out here in this country that agree with Trump and their side. Understand? So they like, listen, we trying to keep this money going. And they know this. The black folk, they gambling that black folk ain't going to want to boycott ESPN like that. You know what I'm saying? They figure they're going to be there. But the Trump side might not be there. So they're going to go over the Trump side and see what happens. Now, if we get on the cold and get on the ball and boycott ESPN, their subscribers, they're not subscribers, but their advertisers, and get to the money, then things will change. So at the end of the day, they may not like us, but they like our money. So
okay, so do you agree Jermell Hill should have been suspended?
For me, she did nothing wrong. However,
of course she did nothing wrong, but once again, there's a time and place for everything. And like you said, she's working for
But like I said earlier, you ain't going to go in Massa's house and call out Massa. It's not going to happen.
So
They ain't going to let no black woman go in Massa's house and call out Massa.
So if you knew that, so in a way, she shot herself in the foot, you say. Is that what you're saying?
Then again, if she shot herself in the foot, she may be, made herself a martyr. And her way is like, listen, I'm standing for what I believe in. If I get fired, fuck, I get fired. But at least I can look myself in the mirror and say, hey, I stood up for something. Because it's the thing. This is why I call this a great time, is because you can't sit on the sidelines no more. You got this clear side. Whose side you on? Either you're for white supremacy or you're not. And everybody, man, woman, and child, got to sit there and make that decision now. So she said, listen.
You are a funny man. You know that? You are very
funny. No, I'm not funny. I'm dead ass fucking serious.
So you're telling me Anitra B, K-Dog, and Sean Black that we have a choice to make? Either we choose white supremacy or not?
That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like I said 4 years ago from the Trayvon Martin case till now. And look what's happened. Look what's happened. It is what it is.
Okay.
And
we've
always, listen, none of this is new, dog. None of this is new. It's just out there now. That's why I like the Trump regime. Because what Trump is doing is say, hey, put your cards on the table now. Is you with us or you against us? And as black folk, we got to decide what side we on.
So we have civil war right now among us, or this is nothing new?
It's been like, Ronnie, this is the thing. It's been war. We just had our heads stuck in the sand for all these years. We've been pacified. But now the pacification is over. Now it's on. So it's been like this.
All right, guys.
I know them white guys. They take you out to dinner and lunch or have a few drinks and everything cool, but it's not. It's real. It's been real.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show. I'd like to thank Milton X, K-Dog.
You're welcome.
Anitra B.
Yeah.
And Sean Black. Wow, it was a great show tonight. And, of course, remember what Milton X said. Either you choose white power or, white supremacy, or you don't.
That's all there is to it.
So, Anitra B, what side are you on now?
I'm on my side. I could not give a shit about anybody else's side. I'm on my side. I'm only interested in making my bank account bigger.
I don't think it's as easy as picking Coke or Pepsi.
Exactly.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen.
So what side you on, Rodney?
I'm on a Grey Goose side. Duh.
You knew that.
You know
that's right.
I knew you said that.
Have a good night, everyone, and God bless. Take
good
care.
Good night,
yeah,
guys.
As always.
And the pleasure
night, everyone.
Was all yours.
Yours.
Of course.
Of course.
Boy.